Ever watch a movie and can't stop staring at the clothing? Or wonder why a costume designer chose to dress a character in a certain way? Join Michaela and Samantha, two media production students with a passion for fashion, as they deep dive into the world of costume design and try to connect the dots between close-ups and corsets. Hi guys, hope everyone is having a great day. We are coming to you at 10:30 at night. And welcome to the second episode of Close-Ups and Corsets. I'm your co-host, Samantha.
And I'm Michaela.
So today we are going to be looking at Cruella. It is a 2021 Disney film that's meant to be the origin story for Cruella de Vil of the 101 Dalmatians. The lady that wants to kill the puppies. But in this movie...
PETA hates her.
Oh, yeah. In this movie, she is an aspiring fashion designer who originally works for and then bumps up against the current establishment of the fashion scene, a.k.a. the Baroness. Before you guys go any further, there will be spoilers in this episode. If you have not seen Cruella, maybe... just know that you
pause and go watch it.
Yeah, pause and go watch it.
Yeah, and then come back.
And then come back. Or just be spoiled. We can't stop you. But all right, so let's jump in.
Let's talk about the setting of the movie.
Yeah, so the movie is set in London, England. It starts off in the 60s when Cruella is still a kid and she's known as Estella. But the majority of it is set in the 70s of London.
So one thing I found really interesting about the movie is that it's literally set in the punk revolution of the 70s, like London, England, punk revolution, which was kind of contrasting against the more like hippie style of like and the establishment of the time.
Yeah.
Actually,
like I feel like there are three like major aesthetics in the movie. I feel like I'm jumping ahead a little, but... I feel like there are three major aesthetics, which is like number one is the punk, mm-hmm. Which is what Cruella is wearing. Number two is like the soft flowing, like hippie organic colors, like browns and neutrals and stuff. And that's Anita. And then there's like kind of like the elegant, classy establishment haute couture. Definitely didn't pronounce that right. that is what like the Baroness wears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like that last kind of like represents the establishment of and the whole like traditional fashion world in that movie.
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
Yeah. And then I also have I pulled up a quote from Wikipedia about punk, which I found was interesting when you place it in context of the movie. So it says, "The punk ethos is primarily made up of beliefs such as nonconformity, anti-authoritarianism, anti-corporatism, do-it-yourself ethic, anti-consumerist, anti-corporate greed, direct action, and not selling out."
Which is really interesting, considering the way the movie kind of portrays corporate fashion.
Mm, yeah.
Not like fashion that you would wear like in a corporate setting, but like the incorporation of fashion, the business of the fashion industry. Yeah, I feel like, okay, we should probably contextualize this a little bit. So basically, I don't know, let's do a quick little summary of the movie.
Yeah, sure.
So Cruella, aka Estella, is like a really rebellious kid and like gets kicked out of school because she's always like doing funky little fashion things to her uniform and like punching other kids. She's a rebel,
yeah.
You know?
And yeah, she's always like messing up her uniform. It's like very DIY. She like sprays ink all over it to make a pattern.
Yeah, she has like
a lot of like little patches and
pins.
Like pins.
Yeah, you know, she has very like, punk. Spikes. Very punk. And this is in the 60s. And then so she gets kicked out of school and then her mother brings her to like this party. And she's like, okay, stay in the car, Estella. But it's a fashion party, so she doesn't stay in the car.
Of course she doesn't.
And so she sees her mom talking to this lady at the party, asking basically for money to help raise Estella. And the lady's like, no, screw you. And she blows a little whistle, and she gets Dalmatians to push Estella's mom off a cliff.
And she dies.
And then she
Spoiler
dies.
Again.
Yeah.
which basically leaves Estella like an orphan, and then she runs away, finds her two
accomplices.
Accomplices, that is a good word. Yeah, accomplices. Yeah.
Horace and Jasper.
And they basically just grow up together.
And do crime.
Time jump.
They spend time together, like, being thieves, essentially. But Estella is, like, making them all these costumes, and, like, that's how they get away with it. And then...
Mm-hmm. Basically making them, like, disguises so that they can, like, do all these different schemes.
So she gets hired at this kind of, like, department store called the Baroness, which is, like, the label that they carry. It's, like, this... haute couture, like, you know, fancy fashion house. And then the actual designer, who is also just known as, like, the Baroness, one day sees the way Estella has, like, set up a window display that, like, actually got her, like, fired because it was too, like, punk rock for like, the snooty, like, manager. But the Baroness comes in and she's like, I'm actually going to hire you as, like, an assistant designer because I really like the way you did that in the window. And so she works for the Baroness for a bit and, like, you know, everything seems great. She's, like, getting to do what she loves and, like, work with, like, a brand that she admires. And then she finds out, dun, 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 again, spoiler alert.
The Baroness has a necklace that her mom gave her, that Estella's mom gave to her right before she died. So then Estella's like, I want my necklace back. I'm going to avenge my mom.
Because the Baroness killed Estella's mom. She's the lady with the Dalmatians.
So yeah, so then Estella and her accomplices / family, pretty much at this point, Horace and Jasper, they come up with this giant scheme where Estella at this point is going to steal back her mom's necklace.
Yes, and she does this by, like, basically creating her own fashion brand called Cruella, or I guess her fashion label called Cruella, and she kind of shows up the Baroness at, like, every event, every premiere, every, like, you know, fashion show. She'll, like, you know, she'll crash it, and she'll, like, do something big.
Mm-hmm.
And she does this at, like, several parties, which we'll, like, go more in depth to when we talk about, like, costumes and stuff. And then eventually she finds out in, like, a third act twist that, like, the Baroness is her real mom.
Which is, like,
which,
what?
Which I thought mean, was
it
like,
does explain a lot, yeah. But, like, it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Which also is interesting when you put it into the context of, like, class and status for the movie, where, like, literally the Baroness is, like, a metaphor for, like, the elite and the establishment, and she's going against her own daughter,
mm-hmm.
who's a metaphor for, like, anti-establishment, anti, like, consumerism, and, like, anti-elitism, like, everything of that. But then, like, Cruella essentially, like, she almost, like, kind of starts becoming, like, the Baroness, which is, like, because she's the daughter of the Baroness, which is, like, kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I found.
I think that, like, the more she made a name for herself as a designer herself, the more she kind of was like, oh, yeah, I am better than everyone else, which is the problem that the Baroness had in the first place. You know, Cruella, she, like, flip-flops between, like, Estella and Cruella. So at the beginning of the movie, she's like Estella, and then in the middle, she flip flops between the two, and then by the end, she just only goes by Cruella. And she, like, literally, quote unquote, like, kills Estella in, like, the final climactic battle, where, like, she lets the Baroness think that she's killed her after she's found out her identity. But I think, like, you can see, like, she starts treating Horace and Jasper, like, super poorly once, like, her Cruella
scene. Yeah, she's, like, super rude and, like...
Yeah, she, like, uses a different voice.
She's, like, an awful person.
She, like...
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of silly, not gonna lie.
I thought it was hilarious, yeah. Honestly. Because, like, even everyone else in the movie is, like, why are you talking like that? Like, she's basically, kind of, like, mimicking, like, the speech patterns of the Baroness. So she's, like, you see her literally, like, she's, like, losing her mind, basically. Like, she's becoming the Baroness, literally.
So when it comes to, like, the way the movie depicts class and status, I think it's really interesting because a quick refresher of like the 101 Dalmatians movie, like the original like animated film, Cruella de Vil is depicted as like an obscenely wealthy, fashion-loving woman who loves fashion so much and cares about living things so little that she wants to like kill puppies and use their skin and fur for her coats. Like that's her character motivation in that movie.
Yeah, which is like kind of like a little bit like the Baroness in this movie, except that in this movie they all love the dogs.
Yeah, there's not one dog killed in this movie, which is, I believe me, I don't want to see a dog die, but like the ethos of the character is lost a little bit when she's known for like killing puppies, but instead she has a dog sidekick. Like I think there was like,
yeah,
it was just like a really interesting shift. And like that plus like the way that like she's depicted throughout, like especially the beginning of the movie, to be like really, really poor. Like she's a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Like her, Horace and Jasper are thieves. And like as a kid, she was also poor.
They literally live in like a little rundown like attic apartment in like the middle of London.
They are not wealthy by any means. And like the Baroness is the wealthy one. And like they were like wealthy, bad, because it makes you lose your humanity. And I was like, okay. So like that makes sense with the way they're depicting her as like a punk rock kind of girl. I was saying earlier, I was like, yo, this movie's just the girl bossification of Cruella de Vil.
No, literally. It's like a metaphor for, I feel like I'm saying metaphor a lot anyway, but yeah, it's like a metaphor for why girl bossification equals bad.
Because like she was happy kind of like making clothing as art for art's sake, but then once she was able to like capitalize mm-hmm. on it, that's when everything went off the rails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When like her motivations like start getting blurred by other things.
Exactly. And like, so I guess throughout the movie she spends like a lot of the movie being like, screw the establishment, I'm better than this, I, you know, you guys are the past, I'm the future. But then, you know, like,
quite literally, she has an outfit where she says she's the future.
Yeah, she has an outfit where she says she's the future. She has,
it's not my favorite, but it's like, yeah, fine, it's like I get it.
Yeah
really, they're really pushing the whole like punk is the future.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, you know, there's this, like, really big scene where, like, it's quote-unquote Cruella's first appearance as, like, Cruella and not Estella, mm-hmm. where she's, the Baroness is hosting, like, a black and white ball. So Estella has dyed her hair, like, this, like, mahogany red so that she won't stand out, which to me is like kind of strange.
Interesting.
Yeah, because like the black and white hair.
We'll go into that later.
Yeah, the black and white hair apparently made her stand out too much, so she just dyed her hair like a different color but still wasn't a natural hair color. Anyway.
Yeah.
So they're hosting a black and white ball, and Estella, Horace, and Jasper are using this ball as like a distraction so that they can steal the necklace back from the Baroness, which is like her major motivation throughout like the middle act of the movie. And so they do this, and then so everyone's showing up in like these beautiful black and white outfits, and then Cruella shows up and she's wearing this like hooded kind of like this like robe, essentially
this like little silk hooded cape thing,
and then she
crashes like a giant
like the champagne tower with like all the glasses.
Yeah.
And then her hair's black and white now. And then
it's her real hair. Yeah.
Yeah. It's her real hair. And then so she crashes a thing. She makes a whole scene.
And she's like, do you have a light? And then she lights herself on fire. Yeah.
She lights like the like silken white robe on fire. And then it goes up in flames and she's wearing this like bold red dress. And like, obviously she's standing out because mm-hmm. everyone else is wearing black and white. And honestly, love it. Love it so much. There's like a really strong like black, white, and red color palette for her throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. And like when they fully stick to it, like it's really incredible.
Yeah.
I love it. Because like those are colors that are not at all associated with kind of like the establishment. The establishment usually is wearing kind of like jewel tones or like black, kind of like
gold.
Yeah, exactly.
Like kind of all those colors. Yeah. I feel like that part where like she sets her cape on fire is literally, oh, side note, that dress, mm-hmm. that red dress she's wearing is also literally a dress that the Baroness designed
in the 60s.
In the 60s.
And Cruella's like, it's like back when she was like relevant or whatever, mm-hmm. you know?
And then Cruella's like, oh, I fixed it. I like ripped it up and like, you know, all of that. And it's like interesting.
I made it more punk rock.
She made it punk rock. Yeah. And it's but yeah, like once again, they're really pushing the metaphor for like setting fire to the establishment and the tradition and the rules, not just like the black and white party rules, but like the, you know, the rules.
Yeah, exactly. She is this like bold spot of like red, this like first blood in like, this is like the first bloodshed in like killing the establishment, essentially. And it stands out and it's gorgeous. That dress is gorgeous. And like metaphorically, it sets up like, oh, she's gonna tear down the walls of the establishment. However, the messaging gets a little muddy after you find out that like by being the Baroness's daughter, she's technically inheriting the establishment.
And becoming the establishment. It's like, it is interesting.
So the messaging gets like kind of muddy. And I think that like regardless of the message that like the beginning of the movie was trying to send, they kind of, they turn it from like a story where you're supposed to be cheering for her, where you're like actively like, oh, I don't want her to die, but also she's not really treating anyone with respect other than herself.
Yeah.
And like they make her sympathetic enough that like you don't hate her, but I guess they turn her into a villain, which I suppose was the point of the movie, because technically it was her origin story.
Yeah.
But it's just, she's set up to, like, break down the establishment, but then by the end of the movie,
only to, like, literally become
the establishment. And she kills the part of herself that was this, like, humble, poor, you know, making clothing just for love. You know, like, she kills Estella. So, like, what message is that supposed to be sending, I suppose, is my question. But at the same time, like, I understand it's a villain origin story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say, this movie, I feel like every single outfit, I will say, it is a fashion film. Like, it is about fashion.
Yeah.
And so, like, obviously, you know that, like, their costume department, like, put a lot of work and thought into every single one of those costumes. However, there are some that, like, I feel like I either really, really love the costumes or, like, I really dislike them. Like, there wasn't really a middle ground where I was just, like, neutral on something. Like, I had an opinion about every article of clothing.
Mm. Like, she has, like, we mentioned this earlier, there's this outfit where she, like, takes off. Which one is it? It's like the one where she has face paint on her face and she says like she's
the
future.
It says the future on it, but it's like kind of like spray painted across her face. But like the outfit itself, like I suppose like the messaging of that was like supposed to just be like the face paint. But like the outfit itself, I feel like is very cluttered. Anytime she wears glitter, I dislike it. Glitter to me is
glitter
not like
is
super
very
punk
rock. Not punk. Yeah.
But I mentioned earlier that I really love when they stick to like that really strong like red, black and white color palette, because I think like it's really evocative of her character, where like she sees the world as like black and white, but then she's like the spot of red that's like bleeding out and like changing things. And I think that's really sick. And I, you know, I'm a big fan of like just like bold colors. So I really enjoy it, but there are like several times where like they get her to wear outfits that are like pastel, like the garbage dress.
The garbage dress. Oh my
God. Dislike it.
Okay, conceptually, I really like it because obviously she's trying to like upstage, you know, the Baroness, but, and it's very like anti- whatever.
Anti-waste,
it's like very
anti-waste.
It's like it's very like DIY. Like That's like one thing I like that, like, kind of like underlies Estella's, all of Cruella's, like, all of her outfits, at least in the first half of the movie. They're all like very like do it yourself, which is like very punk.
Yeah.
But yeah, the garbage dress was like interesting conceptually, but I was like, it's very like pastel.
Like, could they not have found like red, white, and black garbage? That's my question.
Yeah, like, I feel like they could have like,
because like,
but it is interesting.
I will say, it does remind me, like, they have in like the initial scene where like her mom dies and like her mom, like, she goes into like that fashion show, it is like a rococo ball, like Marie Antoinette style, with like pastel gowns, and like if you look closely at the pictures,
oh,
like,
my
that's
God.
The way her hair is. So like I think they were trying to do a callback to that, but I think that like,
wow, they're really heavy-handed with this like anti like authoritarian.
It's like, oh yeah, like your fashion show was garbage. But I just feel like I get what they were trying to do. They should have made it more her style. Like, they should have matched her color palette at that point, because like it was really strong. And then when she pulled up in that outfit, I was like, this doesn't look like something she would make. Like, conceptually maybe, but like just the certain kinds of colors that were used, I thought, just didn't mesh.
Yeah, I feel like if they really wanted to use the pastel colors, calling back to like the fashion show at the beginning, they should have like literally shown like the dresses from,
oh yeah, like
the beginning. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, I honestly didn't realize that until I literally said those words out loud just now. I think they could have been a little more heavy-handed with it, but like this half hand was confusing.
Yeah, I feel like they're like really heavy-handed in like some parts, obviously with like the whole punk thing, but then when they kind of like step back, it's like, you know what, like consistency is key. Yeah,
exactly,
is all I'm gonna say. Yeah,
well, pivoting from that, I think my favorite outfit of the movie was the Dalmatian outfit.
Oh my God. And the whole like thing where she like shows it off, like it's like basically like a fashion show, like a punk rock fashion show is how she like debuts that Dalmatian outfit.
And it's not made out of real Dalmatian.
Which they literally address later in the movie. Yeah. But I mean, it's like a psychological like mind game for the Baroness.
Because the Baroness thinks that like Cruella stole her dogs and killed them. But like, I just, this outfit is so gorgeous to me. Like, it's like half black, half white, and like the white part has like the Dalmatian spots on it, but like the black of her hair is like on the left side, but the black of the dress is on the white on the right side, sorry. And then the white of her hair, like, it's just like a crisscross kind of thing, which I think is really sick. I love her little umbrella. I love her gloves. I love that her hair is up and like poofy, which like calls back again to like that rococo like hairstyle without like compromising the punk rock aesthetic, which I think like this outfit was like the standout one of the entire movie for me.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like the way she like kind of like contrasts that with the rest of like the clothes in that fashion show, like, they're so punk. Like, everybody's got, like, the teased hair, like, corsets, and, like, kind of, like,
oh, yeah.
Very, like, DIY. She even makes, like, her, like, Jasper and Horace, like, go punk. Like, which one is it? Jasper? Horace? Jasper, like, dyes his hair red.
Oh, yes, yes. And Horace, I think.
Yeah, Horace is, like, his hair is dyed red for it, and, like, they're all, like, doing this little punk thing.
Yeah, no, it's incredible.
It's like really cool.
Like, that was by far like the standout moment of the movie to me, which sucks because it was like halfway through.
Yeah,
like, I don't,
there was a lot of like little like plot twists, I feel like, in this movie.
I feel like there were just a lot of things going on in the movie, and like some things they did really, really well, and some things felt unnecessary. Like, I wasn't the biggest fan of like the plot twist of like, oh, the Baroness was her real mom, and you know, she can actually scam her way and like inherit all of this wealth, because it's like, no, but like her thesis up until now was like, I am a self-made woman. I did all of this by myself. I was poor. Then I girl bossed my way to the top.
Yeah.
But then to like end the movie with her, like,
what does it say that now she's like basically like a super rich heiress.
To like end the movie with her walking into a mansion being like, haha, this is all mine. Who wins?
It's like,
I guess her, I guess capitalism. Like,
that was not a happy laugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, because she kind of like almost like again, like she almost like goes against everything that she's been like doing up until like, well, most of the movie. Yeah, she's like a DIY person. Yeah. She's like self-made. But even as like young Estella, she's always like DIYing her like school uniform and like stuff like that. Like she's always been like this little chaotic deviant.
Yeah, she's...
And now she's like...
She was sticking it to the man, and then she became the man, you know? Like, that's kind of how it felt like. And, like, she spends a lot of the movie, and, like, when she's young, her mom tells her, like, oh, like, don't stand out, just fit in. And then she's like, no, screw you, Mom. I'm gonna stand out, and I'm gonna get in trouble at school.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't do it on purpose, but she just, like, kind of, like, inadvertently.
Her rebellious spirit is... stronger than her determination to fit in.
Oh, which is, like, also interesting that, like, when her mom dies, she's, like, she has to go in disguise and dye her hair to cover up, like, the white and black thing. But she dyes it, like, mahogany red.
Mahogany. Yeah, like, I knew that she was gonna dye it red because I had seen the trailer, but, like, in my head, like, narratively... it made sense for her to just, like, dye the white part of her hair black.
And then for her to just have black hair. But no, she's, like, I feel like it's, again, like, kind of, like, showing how, like, she just accidentally attracts, like, attention even when she's not, like, trying to.
Yeah, like, as much as she wants to fit in, her as a person was born to stand out. But... yeah. I think what was fun about this, though, was, like, the subversion of, like, she spends the entire movie, when she's not, like, making a big show of herself on purpose, she spends the movie trying to blend in, trying to, like, keep her head down and, like, kind of match the way everyone else is dressing. Like, when she's at the fashion house.
When she's Estella, she's, like,
she's very muted. She's very, like, her outfits don't seem out of place. Like, it's not, like, you can tell she's the main character by the way she's dressed, if that makes sense. I guess the only thing that would...
like, everyone else, she's dressed like a fashion person in, like, the, like, sleek black tailored outfit, skirt. And everyone else is also dressed like that.
Yeah. I think that makes her... the only thing that makes her stand out is the red hair. But, like, it's not even, like, fire engine red, right? It's, like, mahogany. So it's okay. And then I think what's a really fun subversion of that is, like, I suppose, like, the climax of the movie, she finds a way for, like... everyone to dress like her. And so at that point...
oh my god, so good.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Like, at that point, she's fitting in by making everyone else look like her, as opposed to fitting in by making her look like everyone else. And I thought that was rad. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Like, imagine, it's like, oh, how do I disguise myself? Well, you make everyone else at the ball dress exactly like you. And it's like, you know what? That's like... kind of genius.
Yeah, I loved it. And then when she turns and when she changes her fit into like Estella at that point, you're like, oh, Estella, who has been used all along as like a symbol of like fitting in and keeping your head down, is the one that stands out right now because she is the only one other than the Baroness who is not dressed like Cruella, who is not dressed kind of like outlandishly with the black and white hair. I think is super fun.
Yeah. Also, another fun thing that I have no idea what it means in the movie is how, like, the Baroness at that ball, she's dressed in silver, which is, like, of course, I guess to make her stand out from, like, all the black and white outfits. But then later, she gets arrested, and the handcuffs are also silver.
Also,
which matches her dress.
I think maybe also silver is, like, associated with, like, second place, right? And, like, Estella / Cruella, whenever she wears, like, a metallic color, she never wears silver. She always wears gold, which I thought was sick. And, like, the dress that turned into bugs, that was gold.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That was
which I don't know if that means anything, but it is something I would like to point out.
Yeah, I feel like there's just like so much in this movie that's like there's, you could like tell a whole story just like by looking at the costumes. Like this, the costumes are really,
if I'm
going to
be completely
story.
Honest, I think the costumes were more engaging than the actual plot of the movie. Cause like, this is not me like talking poorly about the movie. I thought it was like a fun watch. I just think that like, I'm not sure what message it was trying to send when it came to like,
but it was fun looking at the outfits
and that's all that matters. At least here on our podcast.
On here on corsets and close-ups and corsets.
Well, we haven't actually decided what movie we are going to do next. I think maybe what would be fun is if we put up like an Instagram poll and like got people to vote on like what they wanted us to analyze next, because we've done a period piece now and we've done kind of not really a period piece but like something in the past. I think it would be fun to do something where like the fashions in that movie were current at the time that the movie was made. I think that would be really sick.
But yeah, like I feel like we could sit here all day and like unpack what every single outfit means in this movie.
We would be here for hours. So that's it for this episode. Tune in next episode where we will be doing our little analysis on a movie that you guys pick for us. That would be really fun, I think. So we look forward to having you guys, I guess, like be more involved, have like an interactive component. But yeah, that's it for today. Signing off, this is Sam.
This is Michaela, and see you guys on our Instagram polls and in 2 weeks from now.
Bye.
Bye.